Hello, Knan.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Simon.
Have you been to South Africa before?
You know what? I was supposed to, and I was probably on the flyer, but then my dad broke his leg, and I couldn't come.
Oh, wow.
So maybe I saw him as a intended speaker.
Yeah, Simon saw you on the flyer. Yes. Imagine how much more of an impact you would have had if you actually arrived.
Yes, but it was a terrible biking accident. Pretty much the only physical risk here in Holland, and it happened at the worst time.
That's terrible. What's the news out of Europe?
Well, it's not very good. Actually, we're seeing a wave of anti-Semitic graffiti that is picking up audacity, and we've seen some tags on the home of a French mayor, and he in the Alsace region, and he said in an interview that he doesn't know what he did to deserve it. So we're seeing an uptick in anti-Semitic attacks that are, instead of targeting synagogues and schools, they're escalating it and going to politicians' home. And there's a message here that of a threat. This is the reality that we're facing now, and the French Jewish Student Association came out with a statement that this is only the tip of the iceberg, and actually it's a daily affair that homes, post boxes, and schools are getting targeted in this way. But I thought maybe we could, with this in mind, we could turn to a more joyful subject, which is Hanukkah coming up.
Yes, and let's talk about Hanukkah.
Simply, and it's also a story of resistance to exactly this kind of hatred and singling out. So I went to, like every Jewish reporter, I'm looking everywhere for a good Hanukkah story, right?
Right.
The pressure's on. And so I went to the Jewish Historical Museum here in Amsterdam to check out what they have. And I saw the Hanukkah section, the Hanukkah menorah. I wasn't very impressed. It was pretty mundane-looking objects. And then I caught a little text under object MB02280.
Oh.
It doesn't even have a title or a name. And it said that it came from a silversmith called Hermanus Nieuwenhuis from the 18th century. And I thought, wow, that means that this Hanukkah that I'm looking at is worth more than my house. Let me explain. Let me back up. Because in 2006, a Hanukkah from the very same silversmith from the 18th century, it was slated to fetch somewhere between $9,000 and $15,000 at an auction. And all hell broke loose. It ended up fetching $441,000 because a bidding war erupted and people called from abroad on the phone. It was just crazy. You have serious Judaica collectors also in South Africa, right?
Yes, absolutely we do. Yes, and it's actually part
of...
We know the curator. In fact, maybe we should get him on at some point or put you in touch with him. But yes, a lot of stuff from the Holocaust made its way to South Africa.
Right. So you know the lengths that collectors... heavy collectors will go to. So this object that no one expected to fetch more than 15,000 ended up costing more than my house.
Whoa.
And there I stand at the Jewish Historical Museum seeing a Hanukkah from the same period by the same silversmith. So I say, you know, that's got to be a story. Turns out that this Hanukkah that's just on display alongside other Hanukkahs at the Jewish Historical Museum of Amsterdam is at least as expensive as that of the one that was auctioned in 2016. It's probably worth $450,000.
Wow.
It's one of the priciest Hanukkahs in the world. And that's because, first of all, it encapsulates kind of the story of Dutch Jewry and because it has a royal connection.
How?
In 1907, the Queen, Wilhelmina, she bought it because she thought it's an interesting object, a nice-looking object. I should say it's not a very impressive artifact. It's about 16 inches tall, so 42 centimeters, It's nice and all. It's made of silver, but it's not something that I would think would cost $450,000. So she bought it for her mother, Princess Emma. And she said at the time that it's an interesting object to look at and see how it all works. And, you know, in today's perspective, it kind of looks normal, right?
Right. No?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
No, Simon thinks it's weird.
Do you think it's weird, Simon?
No, not at all.
We're just going to let you go with this one, Knan.
Okay. But at the time, when you examine it against the anti-Semitism of people like Wilhelm II, yeah. The emperor in Germany, who said that maybe Jews should be eradicated with gas already in the 20s, or Leopold III in Belgium, who said they were a danger to his country, it's pretty outstanding that a royal member would buy such a Jewish artifact for their mother. To look, you know, and that reflects the tolerance that Jews pretty much always had here in the Netherlands, save the Nazi occupation. It's pretty remarkable. And then in 2012, the Royal House gives it to the Jewish Historical Museum, puts it on the display, they tuck it somewhere in there, and 2016, it turns out this object is worth almost $500,000.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible.
What's so incredible is how the valuer got it so wrong at the beginning.
Yeah. What an amazing story. I mean, if your stuff could tell a story about you, you know, what would it say? I'm getting rid of all my stuff. I mean, I'm just cluttering at the moment. You should just know.
In this case, the Chanukia tells us actually a lot about the people who not only made it, but who bought it, because there is an intricate arabesque-like mesh in the center of the Chanukiah that contains the initials of the people who ordered it. But no one can decipher what's written in there, so that's a riddle. And it's made in the Rococo style, and that suggests that the people who ordered it had refined tastes.
Yeah. Look, I wouldn't call Rococo refined. I think it's like quite garish. Isn't Rococo style like very garish? That's where men used to wear, you know, like these big wigs. And isn't that the Rococo style where everything's gold inlaid and, you know, it's just completely overdone? Is that what the Chanukiah looks like?
I'm not going to get into a debate because my wife actually chooses what I wear. So I'm not going to debate styles here. But from what the curator told me, it's true. There's a little bit over the top, yet it is also clean in a way because it has smooth surfaces and the Rococo craziness only begins around the edges. So it's a bold, avant-garde choice for that time. And it shows a family with taste and the means to do it. Now, the silversmith who made this, he wasn't Jewish. And that's because with all the tolerance that I just mentioned, before the 1900, Jews weren't allowed into the silversmith's guild. That only happened in the 19th century. So this Christian guy, Neuenhaus, he had to learn how to make Jewish artifacts. Little pomegranates on the Torah scrolls. He made those and the Chanukiahs. And he borrowed a lot also from Christian style. So those pomegranates, you know, the one you put on the Sefer Torah?
Yeah.
Yes.
They actually look like the spires of a church, ironically.
Incredible. Knan, that's where we leave it this week. Thank you so much. So have you written a story about this? Have you published it on JTA?
I have, you know.
Amazing.
Chanukah stories can't come early enough.
That's true. Anyway, have a wonderful week. God bless, and we'll catch up with you next week. Hopefully.
Thank you.